Normally, the preacher will get up, he'll read a scripture, and then he'll pray. I do it backwards. Or actually, I do it the right way. Because Psalm 119, verse 18 says this, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." In Spanish, it's a poem. Abre mis ojos y miraré las maravillas de tu ley. Because tonight, we are not dealing with just a book, even though this is the book of books. We are not dealing with just a book of religion, even though the religion of this book is pure. We're not dealing with just a great work of literature, even though this is the greatest work of literature ever written. This is not just a book of history, although the history of this book is true. This is the Word of God. God is God breathed, and because of that, we can't just read it. We must have the Holy Spirit of God as our teacher and our guide. So we'll pray before we read the scripture tonight. We'll pray that God would open our spiritual eyes, that we will behold the wonders he has for us tonight. Take your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 10 to start. Now, keep your Bibles open. We're going to do a Bible study tonight. But we'll start off with Romans chapter 10, verses 13, 14, and 15. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, as we come into your presence again, we come through the blood of Christ that was shed, given on the cross for us in our stead, that has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. Father, we thank you for that salvation. There are so many tonight who know nothing of the freedom that we know in Christ. Lord, help us to tell them. But Father, tonight we pray that you would open our spiritual eyes and that we would behold the wonders that you have for us. And Father, we pray that you would touch our hearts. We need a touch from you. We need a teaching from you. And Father, I pray as the messenger tonight that you would use me, that what is said would be to your honor and to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans chapter 10, verses 13, 14, and 15. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." What a great promise. What a great promise. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." This is the formula right here. They must hear, but before they must believe, but before they believe, they have to hear. They have to believe in their heart, but before they can do that, they must have a preacher. And that preacher must be sent. That's what Missions Conference is all about. Sending the messenger. Now tonight and every night this week during the week, we're going to look at faith promise. We'll look at one concept of faith promise every night. And then we're going to have a challenge from the Word of God about the message. So let's look at that first concept of faith promise. Now, we're talking about giving. And we ought to be giving. We ought to be giving, first of all, our tithe. That's where it all starts. Giving your tithe. And then giving as God leads, but giving a faith promise. Faith, now what is it? Or we can also say grace giving. That's more biblical. But what does it mean to give by grace? Well, grace is God's unmerited favor. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve to participate and reaching the world for Christ. But he's allowed us by his grace. By grace, through faith. Heritage Baptist Church has chosen to use this system called faith promise or grace giving to give to the work of world evangelism. Faith promise is a promise made to God. Not to the church, not to the missionaries. It's a promise made to God. We promise God that we will give every week a certain amount that will be used exclusively to reach the world for Christ. This is not the tithe, it is beyond the tithe. So let's look. There's three concepts of faith promise. The first concept is giving to missions. We ought to be giving to missions. Go with me to Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. We ought to be giving to missions. And then there's a concept of giving and receiving, and then the concept of giving by grace. And we'll see all those this week. First of all, the concept of giving to mission. Keep your Bibles open there to Philippians chapter 10, and we're going to look at it, break it down verse by verse, and see this thing called faith promise or grace giving. First of all, we must learn tonight that it is biblical to give to missions. In verses 10, 11, 12, and 13, we see the faith of the missionary. Paul said this, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." We see here the faith of the missionary. These missionaries are going out by faith. They don't have a contract. You're not going to sign a contract with them. They say, "We guarantee your salary. We guarantee that you'll be able to get your home when you get there, to purchase a vehicle, to pay for language training." They're going by faith, just as Paul did. Paul went out by faith, but faith pleases God. We know in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him." Faith pleases God. Our faith, these missionaries' faith, pleases God. And these missionaries, just like Paul, are going out by faith. But not only must the church, must the missionary have faith, the church must have faith. Look with me in verse 14. Bible says, "Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my afflictions. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity." The church must have faith. Now, you know, back then, they couldn't go down to the bank and say, "Now, wire this money over to Paul." They had to personally give Epaphroditus the funds and say, "Now, go find Paul." Can you imagine? He goes into a town. "I'm looking for Paul of Tarsus. Have you seen him?" "Yeah, we just ran him out of town." "You with him?" "I'm just looking for him." He had to track him down. He had to find him. They had to have faith to send a servant to give him those funds. The church must have faith. But, you know, as we said, faith pleases God. What's the result of that offering? The result of that offering we find in verse 17. "But because, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." That's the reason for the offering. Now, we're not talking about having faith promise tonight so these missionaries can be rich. Are you looking excited about getting to the field and get that Mercedes? You're not. What about that house with the big pool in the backyard? Oh, yeah. Wife said, "Yes, amen." No, these missionaries aren't in it for the money. If you are, you're in the wrong business. We're in it for souls. But, you know, as we preach the gospel, still have to eat, still have to have some kind of transportation, still have to have a place to live. So the reason for the offering is to see souls saved and to add fruit to the account of the churches who support missions. This is an internal investment. You know, as you receive the missionary prayer letters and you hear of those souls being saved, as you hear about those souls being saved, as they open for the first time the Word of God, That's fruit that will abound to your account in heaven. That's the reason. The result of the offering is in verse 18, 19, and 20. The result, first of all, in 18, but I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Let me tell you. Now, there are a few here that knew my wife and me when we were in school. Things have changed, please. Glory to God. But I was like this when I was in college. I mean, I was skinny. But I met my wife, and I'm content. She is a great cook. On Thanksgiving, she puts the turkey and slow cooks it all night long. At about 3 o'clock in the morning, you wake up and go, oh, wow. Tonight, as we walked into the fellowship hall, we smelled that brisket. Oh, wow. You know, when you put your faith promise in the offering plate, that is a sweet savor. And God says, oh, that's good. It's a sweet savor to God. A sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing. Your faith promise pleases God. And it glorifies Him. Because the last verse said, verse 20, and now God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, that's what it's all about. Glorifying God. And your faith promise glorifies God. Now, why should we be involved in faith promise? Because we have a message to send. What's the theme of our conference again? Somebody tell me. Don't be shy. Let His name be known. Now go to Psalm chapter 9, please. Psalm chapter 9. This week we're going to talk about the message. Making His name known. All week long I plan to speak about the message. The need of the message. The giving of the message. The receiving of the message. The goal of the message. And Lord willing, Sunday morning, the message. Psalm 9, verse 17, the Bible says this. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. The need of the message. Missions is all about sending the message. To send the message, one must send a messenger. Those messengers we call today missionaries. The purpose of the missions conference is to see more mission, more messengers sent to the world, to extend to the world the message of Christ. This evening we will look at the need of that message. The world is religious. We saw tonight on the DVD presentation. Pastor, I'm glad you said slides. We did slides. I mean, we're old school, okay? We did. This is me. This is me. Well, we were on deputation. We got the biggest kick. We were driving down the Blue Ridge Parkway, and we saw a sign, slide area ahead. I just started laughing. My wife said, what's wrong with you? I said, I can just see. We're going around the corner as a missionary going, this is me, and this is me. But you saw on that DVD presentation religious people. The world is not short of religion. So why do we need to send the message? Because religion will not take a man to heaven. More often, religion is why many people will not receive the message. What happens when one rejects the message and dies in their sin? Hell awaits. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 59, please. I want to talk about, first of all, the present need of the message. The present need of the message. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 9 says this. Listen to the word of God. Therefore, Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. This is the present need. The world has no direction. They are desperately seeking it. They have all this religion around them. They're seeking for direction, but they have no direction. Years ago, when we were in Costa Rica, we had a pastor come down. He visited with us for about a week or so, and they wanted to do some filming. This was back when we had the big VHS. Put it on your shoulder camera. Anybody remember those? Yeah. And we went to the city of Cartago. Cartago is the center of Catholicism for Costa Rica. And they began to film outside the cathedral, the Basilica of St. Mary of the Angels. And we filmed a young lady as she fell on her knees at the back of that basilica and crawled all the way up the aisle on that stone floor, up marble steps, and prayed to a little black statue representing the Virgin Mary. Afterwards, she came out, and we interviewed her. We asked her, "Tell me, why did you do that?" "Well," she said, "my parents have always done that, and their parents did it. I'm trying to reach out to God." But she had doubts. She really didn't think, she was not satisfied in her heart because she had no direction. Just what she had received from the traditions of her parents and her grandparents. There is no direction tonight in the world. You see, all over the 1040 window, all over Central and South America, all over Africa, they're looking, they have their traditions. All over North America, all over the United States, people are seeking justice. But God is the only answer. They have no direction. And there's no assurance. The Bible says we grope for the wall like the blind. And we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. There are so many doubts. How many people you walk up to and you ask them, "Well, do you know you're going to go to heaven? You know God will, do you think God will let you into heaven?" "Oh, I hope so. Maybe if my good outweighs my bad, maybe God will let me. Maybe, I don't know." There's no assurance. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. And then the last part of verse 10, we are in desolate places as dead men. There is no hope. That's the present need. What about the future need? We go back to our text in Psalm that chapter 9, verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. These religious people you saw on the presentation tonight, they're on their way to hell. There is only one way. The future need is that they are on their way to hell. They're religious. There is no hope. There is no hope for the one who dies without Christ as Savior. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 says this. Listen to what the Word of God says. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. We live in a world that has no hope. Several years ago, McDonald's came out with a commercial for their Happy Meal. And they said, hope in a box. They were raising money for childhood cancer projects. But I'm here to tell you tonight, there's no hope in that box. There may be a hope for someday a cure, but there's no true hope in a box. The only true hope offered to man is that hope found in the Word of God. This is why this is so important. This is why the work over here is so important. We must preach the Word of God. We must contact, we must engage with the Word of God, because this is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Hell awaits all who reject Christ. The story of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Hell is a place of torment. Hell is a place of loneliness. Hell is a place with no hope. I can't imagine the burning of hell. How many of you tonight would put your finger over a candle for 30 seconds? That's just a candle. Imagine eternity in a lake of fire. Not only is it a place of no hope, it is a place that is eternal. Matthew 25, verse 41 says this, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, unto everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. It is eternal. That's the future need. The immediate need is this. We've read it already in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the joy. That's the answer. That's why we must make his name known. Because in his name there is salvation. In his name there is relief. In his name there is the answer. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For those people in the 1040 window, for those people in Thailand, for those people in the UK, for those people in Central and South America, for those people around us, the answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. The message of the gospel is the only remedy for an eternity in hell. And we are the only messengers. Have you ever thought about that? If they are going to hear the message, we must tell them. Out of all the methods God could have used, he chose his church. That's us. To tell and to send. I don't think I'll ever be able to go to Indonesia. I hope one day maybe to go to the UK. My wife has ties there that are way back in the family. I do have the opportunity to go into Mexico and Central America. You may not ever be able to go to these countries, but you can reach people around you. There are people right here. There are people in your neighborhoods. There are people, members of your family, that I won't be able to reach. God has a plan and a purpose. We are all messengers. And we can send messengers. We must see the need of a lost and a dying world on their way to hell. As Jesus looked out over Jerusalem and wept with compassion, we too need compassion for those who have no hope. As we start this missions conference tonight, let's pray that God will help us to see those without Christ. You know, we see people every day. Do we see them as lost and dying souls? Or do we just see them as somebody in our way in traffic? Or is just somebody in line in front of us? Do we really see lost and dying souls? Let's pray that God will help us to see those without Christ and that He would give us a broken heart for lost souls, not just in Indonesia, not just in Africa, not just in the UK, not just in Thailand, not just in Central America and Mexico, but right here in our own neighborhood. Because we must make His name known. That's the answer. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want you to pray tonight. I want you to pray this prayer. Lord, what would you have me to do? Ask the musicians to come. They'll begin to play a verse of invitation. Let's begin to pray. Let's ask God. Maybe God has you to increase your faith promise. I was in a missions conference down in Smithfield, Virginia, and I was having supper with a couple who said that their faith promise had exceeded their tithe, and they thought, how can we give more? Then God called their children to the mission field. Maybe you ought to let go and say, Lord, send my kids, and I'll pray for them. I'll support them. Maybe you need to go. Maybe you need to go. Maybe God is touching your heart. Pastor, I don't think we'd mind losing a few members to the mission field. What does God want you to do tonight? Father, in Jesus' name, we pray that you would bless this time of invitation. Your name would be uplifted and glorified in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor.
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. The piano plays this evening. The altar is available to you or there at your pew, but we want you to be obedient to the Lord. Think of the song we heard sung right before the message, People Need the Lord. We saw a video tonight of many people that need the Lord, and we were just reminded, your neighbors need the Lord, your co-workers. And we have the answer, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel. So let's be affected by this tonight, and let's be obedient to the Lord.